Blog Talk Radio.
Unbothered. Impermeable. I'm the people's champ. Obama, and you don't understand. Unbothered, sick, allergic to the con artist. Fake woke, an imposter. Only real ones up in my roster. Like Junior C, that's my roster. You know, I just been barred up. I've been high, my shit been barred up. I've been high, my shit been barred
Yes, happy Tuesday. Oh, what's that?
Happy
Tuesday.
Oh, family.
All right, I got rid of the echo.
Okay, how's everybody doing?
Good. It's another Tuesday. It goes up on a Tuesday.
And these Tuesdays just come so quickly.
I know. We missed it last week, but we're back at it again.
Yes. As usual. As usual.
So this show, I figured, you know, we got to have a show of, you know, interesting topics. You know,
there's
we
a
go
lot
off
going
the top
on.
A lot. Mm-hmm. We go off the top a lot. So I figured, why not just make this segment a whole bunch of, like, what's going on? What's going on with what's going on? Because there's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on that we think doesn't affect us, and it does.
Yeah. Yep. Well, everything affects us. We should understand that. Even if it doesn't directly affect us, it indirectly affects us. Whether we want to close a blind eye to it or not.
Yep. Yeah.
So it's about to stay woke. We got to stay woke, man. So, sis,
stay awake and stay woke.
What's been on your radar recently?
Well, I mean, of course, everybody, like, there's just been a couple of things that have been going on. Okay, actually, we're not going to start off with anything heavy. We're going to start off with washing chicken. I would like to have a conversation about to wash or not to wash, because apparently it's like a big deal, and apparently it's a black versus white thing now when it comes to washing chicken. So I had very serious and deep thoughts. Not that deep, it's a joke. But I had serious thoughts about washing this chicken. I'm like, there is no way. Like, that is disgusting. If you cook chicken and it's not washed properly, you can smell that it still tastes like raw chicken. Like, when, like if I eat at a restaurant and I can still smell, huh?
Salmonella.
Exactly. If you can still smell some of the rawness, you're like, wait, what restaurant are we in? Who owns this restaurant? But apparently it's a big deal. Apparently there are people that are saying that you're not supposed to wash your chicken before you cook it. And I remember watching a video, it was like a panel, and it was, I think it was all white women, and there was one black girl, and it was so funny, because they were talking about this package, that you can just open the package and drop the chicken in the frying pan. And the lady was, the black woman was looking, and she didn't say anything for about 5 minutes, and she was like, but don't you wash the chicken first? And everybody was up in arms, because apparently the conversation is that white people don't wash their chicken. So I was like, definitely a black and white thing. But then this morning, of course, my favorite radio show besides ours, The Breakfast Club, I was listening to it, and Dr. Oz was on it talking about everything in the world. Like, Dr. Oz is so much funnier on, like, he's cool on his show, but when he's on The Breakfast Club, he really seems to be a lot of fun. And not saying that he's not fun on his show, but it's a different kind of fun. Like, when you're around Charlamagne and DJ Envy and Angela, it seems like people, like, they bring out a different type of person in people.
Mm-hmm.
So Dr. Oz was on there, and then Charlamagne asked him, if you should wash chicken. So Dr. Oz said you're not supposed to wash chicken because when you wash chicken, you are, like, I've washed it before. Obviously, like, everybody was talking about wash chicken and then wash the dish, or don't, first of all, don't wash chicken when there's dishes in the sink, but clean the sink out or whatever. But then he pointed out that when you cook, when you wash, first of all, when you wash chicken, the water is splashing and splashing salmonella onto, you might have dishes on the sideboard, you might have other things, you might have other utensils, you might have your lettuce that you're washing, you know, the salad. So that's one of the things. And another thing that he pointed out is that water doesn't kill salmonella. So you're technically not washing.
So you're supposed to use vinegar, aren't you?
I mean, that's one thing. But people weren't specifically talking about the vinegar because that's what you're supposed to. But they're saying to wash it with water. But water doesn't. I don't even know if vinegar kills salmonella. He was saying that once you put it in the oven, it kills salmonella. Now, for me, I feel like I'm betraying my race if I look. And this is stupid. I'm joking, but I feel like I'm betraying my race if I don't wash the chicken. Like, I feel like it's, you know, you grow up thinking that it's gross to make chicken and not wash it. I actually stopped eating chicken about 2 months ago, so my family does not have this problem. But for those people that do still eat chicken, it's just like, okay, Dr. Oz makes sense. It makes sense, but it feels like, because all of them on the show were like, Dr. Oz, you make sense, but I'm still washing my chicken. Like, is it something that's ingrained in us that it seems like it's a black thing as opposed to a white thing? And we still want to wash our chicken because culturally it's what we're supposed to do. So I thought that was interesting. I don't know. Because it was a big deal and everybody was like, that's disgusting. But then I listened to Dr. Oz this morning. I was like, oh, crap, maybe. Maybe.
I mean, it makes sense. It makes sense if you're just trying. That's like if you try to wash your hands with just water and not use soap.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to have the same sort of effect.
Yeah, and some people don't want to do the co-washing, which I love co-washing, but because they have specific co-washes that have like things that take out the oil and stuff. But a lot of people don't want to wash their hair with conditioner only. So, you know, with the natural hair movement, a lot of women stop using shampoo and or stop using, especially the ones with sulfate in it. And the conditioner, they're like, if you wash your hair with just conditioner, or if you, it's like washing your clothes with fabric softener. So we have all of these misconceptions of a lot of different things, which some of them are true and some of them are not. But it's kind of like, how do we – I just saw that thing that he said. How do we how do we tell the difference between something that's accurate and something that's culturally, you know, culturally sound?
I mean, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Because
it
like,
makes sense.
We learn from our parents. So it's like we learn, like, and we pass along the message a lot of times amongst each other. So it's like a lot of things are not like, let me go and look this actually up and see if it's right. It's like word of mouth, like, oh, I heard if you do this, then, you know, this will be a result of it. So we just go on that.
Exactly, and then you feel like a sellout if you don't do it that way. Like I'm going against what is culturally normal. Because, you know, some of us will say it in large groups of people or comments about it on Instagram, but behind closed doors, like, there's a lot of, like, even with, you know, and I'm going off on a tangent, but there's black people that will talk a lot of shit, but then once the elections come, they're going to be voting for Donald Trump, but they don't want to do it in front of other people. And I think that's what happened the first time, too. Like, everybody was talking crap, but then when it came to pulling the lever, it's not pulling the lever anymore. It's different now, but, you know, the concept of pulling the lever, you say something in public and do something different in private. Like, there's so many of us that talk about the holidays. We talk about the holidays. We don't want to celebrate white man's holiday. But Christmas coming around, Valentine's Day, and everybody celebrates it. That's why we need to start being authentic and not caring what other people think. I celebrate Christmas. I post it, and I make sure to mention it when Christmas rolled around. If I want to celebrate something because I feel like it, I'm going to celebrate it because I feel like it. I'm not going to say something out in public and then behind closed doors, I'm going to say something different. But I feel like
we're doing
that with the chicken too.
Yeah, because everybody, you know why they do that? Is because people are so afraid to speak their mind and tell their truth that they just go along with what seems like the most popular sort of situation, but then they're going to have to do what they want to do regardless. And then judging people for speaking up about, you know, exactly what they went and did.
And I think the most important thing. Oh, go ahead, Dad.
No, I was going to say, now that's an interesting show that we need to have sometime in the future, although we're starting it now. What are some of the things?
Which part of it? About the chicken?
No, that's part of it, but what are some of the things that we as African Americans say or do? But behind closed doors, we don't really do.
Oh, that's good.
There's so much.
You know,
there's
like,
so, like where
because,
do you start?
Yeah.
And with my experiences, because I speak to our community, I realize that, and knowing other people who also speak to the community, I know for a fact that a lot of the things that they say in public is not what they really believe and practice in private.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that I've learned over the years that I've been doing this. And this is why I found Malcolm. We celebrated his 94th birthday on Sunday. Blessing
his
brother and all that he did for us. But the one thing I've often remarked about our brother Malcolm is that they never had to send in infiltrators into his organization. They sent him into the Nation of Islam, no question. They even sent some around him just to watch him, no question. But Malcolm would tell you to his face what he felt.
Yeah.
So you didn't need infiltrators to see, because a lot of people will say one thing in public but do something else in private.
Mm-hmm.
What Malcolm told you in public is what he was doing in private.
Yep.
He didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And that's what made him so valuable. And that's one of the attributes that I have tried to emulate.
I was just going to say that's just like you.
That's just one, you know, like whatever you are, be you. Celebrate you.
Yep.
And, I celebrate everything.
Mm-hmm.
You all know I celebrate everything. I celebrate Christmas. I celebrate Kwanzaa. I celebrate Misgiving. I call it Misgiving, but I call it Olmec Day, the real African American Thanksgiving.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my thing is, you know, in Spanish, there's a phenomenal sister, Celia Cruz. And she sang a song, Quítate la máscara, which means, you know, take off your mask. That's it. Take it off.
Take it off.
Take off your mask. Who are you?
Nowadays, it's a literal mask that people be wearing. Before, it was good. Now, take that wig off. Take that weave off. Take the makeup off. And just be who you are.
You know, it's just very interesting because I have seen women. I'm speaking now. Let me just focus on women of African descent who are beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And they put a whole bunch of makeup on.
Yep.
I'm not talking about little things that touch up your eyes or your eyebrows or. I'm not talking about just the little extra things that you might do to bring out certain of your character. I'm talking about people that make up on that. I mean, I know you got to weigh at least 3 more pounds after you put all that stuff on.
And then you look like a different person when you take it off.
And you're already attractive. You already have smooth skin. So all the reasons why people cover up, you don't have that problem.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a very interesting thing that this system and everything else, and it goes back to what this topic is in terms of, like, listen, first of all, If you tell me that I've got to wash my chicken to get poison off of it, I have to question why am I going to eat that in the first
place? Hello?
Yeah.
If I have to do all this preparation to take poisons off of something before I put it into my system, I have to ask myself, why? And it's not just salmonella that you're dealing with. It's not just salmonella. Look, our ancestors have been kicking chicken for generations. It's not just salmonella. It's a whole bunch of stuff that's slowly but surely killing you. Look, like I told you all about the toothpaste. Look on the back of the toothpaste. And what the toothpaste tell you is do not swallow. And if you read the back of the toothpaste, don't believe me.
Called poison control.
CDC.
They say if your child has ingested it, you ought to call CDC. Disease control. So if swallowing it in like a gulp is bad, well, what is it doing to you every day, little by little, even if you spit it out? It's killing you slowly.
Wow.
You know,
toothpaste.
Wow.
We just have to stop for a moment. We just have to. But everybody, go to the back of your toothpaste tube and read it. Don't believe me. Go back there and read it and ask yourself a fundamental question. And if water doesn't kill salmonella, if vinegar don't kill salmonella, then what kills salmonella? And if that kills salmonella, how many times a day do you put that in your body? And if it's strong enough to kill salmonella, what must it be doing to you?
Oh, God.
Let's just all be breatharians. Let's just stop. But even the air is dangerous. A breatharian believes that they can live on air and the sun and nature. Don't laugh. Are you laughing? There are people that truly believe that. Don't laugh.
But you know something? I got to have Wojamelon, so don't play with my Wojamelon. there are things I eat, and I do. I eat, and I enjoy life. But there are certain things that I stay away from. But that's my personal choice. There was a time I was kicking chicken. You know, my mother used to cook the best chicken in the world. I ate chicken all my life. I ate chitlins. I ate pork chops. I ate everything. Yes, I did. But I didn't know better. But I didn't know. And just like so many of our people who do what they do. You don't.
Yeah.
And you know, that's why I try not to be sanctimonious about it. That's why I never push vegetarian lifestyle on y'all. You know, I just live my life. I ate the food. I showed you that I could eat food, enjoy it, be positive. And I didn't have to eat meat. I led by example. But I left y'all alone because the worst thing in the world is when you would want to go to your friend's house because they'd be kicking all that pork and you would rather be with them than with us because there were things that you could do with them that you couldn't do with us.
Yeah.
And I know that for a fact from the children in the school system, who many of them are Muslim, and I had a challenge with the staff, you know, with the nutritional staff, because there's a lot of things that has pork in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even marshmallows.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that has pork in it. Gummies, you know, but in terms of lunch, there's a lot of things that has pork in it in its preparation that Muslim children, Muslim people, are not supposed to be eating. But when you come to hot dogs at lunch, there were a lot of the children who were Muslims who ate those hot dogs.
Ooh.
And there was nobody there to stop them. And so there are things that our children are exposed to, no matter what we may do in our homes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There are things that children are exposed to that you have to be careful as it relates to your relationship with them, because I always hope that, you know, it would rub off. Because I tell you, I ate my meat. You know, my sister could cook some pork, man. She cooked pernil. I mean, she cooked pork, and that was good. She cooked pork and rice and beans, and, I used to kick back on that. She used to cook roast beef, and she used to make part of it red because I enjoyed rare roast beef.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh yes, that's me. Like I say with Malcolm, you know, I'm a drop it like it's hot.
Drop it like it's hot.
Ooh. That was me before I knew what I know now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I am accountable for me now, but back then, and you know something, I enjoyed it, and so I understand our people. And whether you cook it, clean it with water, or vinegar. Or whatever you clean it with. You be buying these salads. Say, I'm going vegetarian. Buy these salads in the packets that says it's been washed 3 times. You say, oh, it's been washed 3 times. I don't need to wash it. Uh-oh, you in trouble. You believe that? And then when you wash it under regular water that has fluoride in it. Uh-oh, we in trouble again.
Yeah. Listen, we're always in trouble. We are in trouble.
So my bottom line is just do the best you can and enjoy your life.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because stress will kill you.
That's the only thing
you know,
can do.
You know, you be sitting there worried about the salmonella in the chicken so much, you die of a heart attack, and the chicken wasn't going to be the thing to kill you.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
No.
You stress yourself out over so many things. And the very thing that you stress yourself out, the very thing that you were stressed about isn't what kills you. It's the stress you created in worrying about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Enjoy your life, family. But be careful.
Enjoy your life and be happy to be you.
Don't
worry about what
other
the
people
next person.
To dictate how you feel.
Mm-hmm. Or who you want to be with and what makes you happy.
Yep. Yep. So many of us are so concerned about what other people think.
Mm-hmm.
And like,
and that's
like
funny.
Me
and Mommy were talking the other day about like just growing up in general, being part of different cultures. You know, because Mommy, of course, is from Jamaica. So their focus a lot of times, because I have one of my coworkers, she's from Jamaica as well, and they have very similar views in the way in which they discuss certain things. You know, for all of you that's out there that are of Caribbean, descent or come from Caribbean islands, you have a very sharp way of discussing certain topics. Like, they're very blunt, like, they'll go to somebody and say, oh, wow, you gained some weight. Not with the intention to hurt them, but that's just the way in which they discuss certain things. And they're very, like blunt with it to the point where you're just like, wait a minute,
mm-hmm.
what? Like, you know.
Like, am I offended?
It's very
or?
Cultural. Yeah, like, it's like, what? But sometimes to certain people, that means it's good. You're plumping up. You're looking better. You're looking healthy. Because what does it mean that you gained weight? Is that bad? Is that good? Is that, you know, but culturally it's different. And we were just discussing like, specifically Jamaicans and the way in which they put a lot of pressures on themselves in regards to their hair.
Ooh.
And, you know, they'll like focus so much on making sure that my hair is straight, making sure that my children look appropriate, making sure that their hair is, you know, neatly done at all times. And then now you come fast forward to this generation, and now the big thing is for people to have big natural hair.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you the last
time.
It
still doesn't matter
hair.
To some people.
But it's that stigma that, you know, and in Jamaica we talk about how it's like classism as opposed to racism. And the way in which you presented yourself was everything. You know, you can't be seen looking like a booger bear and looking, you know, a certain
Mommy
way outside.
Booger yaga.
Booger yaga. You can't be looking outside, like, outside a certain way because word get back to your mother and it's like, or your grandmother, and it's like, you're going to come out the house looking like that. You're supposed to be representing us. And nowadays, it's totally different, but if you grew up in that lifestyle and your parents grew up that way, they're going to raise you that way. So it's going to come out in you as well. You're going to have, you know, certain things to say and certain ways to think. And it's like, just evaluating it from, you know, a standpoint where, because I'm around, like, with mental health and everything, like, it's so much pressure that people put on themselves, extra pressure that they should not even care about because those that are judging are probably the least to be able to have a say in the way in which they're what they're judging. And it's like,
yeah,
you're focusing so much on like impressing the next person, and it's like, well, what are you gaining? Does that make you, you know, make money? Is that making you happy? Is that making you sleep better at night? Is that making you, you know, love yourself more? You got to think about this. What is it doing for you? How is that making you feel? How is that growing you as a person?
I was listening. I had listened to Shaggy's interview as well, and he was opening up about almost the same conversation that you're having. Because, you know, Shaggy is Jamaican, and he hasn't talked to his mother, I think he said 3 years, because of, you know, of how they, you know, what was going on in their life. And DJ Envy asked him, you know, don't you look at it differently because she's Jamaican? Like, that's just how they are sometimes. He said, I should look at it that way because I know how the culture is, but at what point do we stop treating each other like this? He said he's the type of person that he cares about what other people are saying. So when he's not allowing himself to be in the toxic relationship with his mother because of how she talks to him, and he won't talk to her because he can't deal with that toxic element in his life of how she treated him, and she didn't even realize that she was treating him that way. So, and he has a lot of Shaggy, the singer, has issues.
Yeah.
We look at these people and we think that they're perfect, but he has issues in his mind because of how he was treated and because of things that he's gone through. You know, and at what point do we stop? At what point do we say, okay, this is culturally the way that it is, but if we
but
want something different.
You can't use that as an excuse. You can't accept
that. That's my point. Like, okay, this is culturally, and this goes culturally too. Okay, culturally, this is what it means to be blank. But the only way to fix it is to stop. Okay, whatever, you think that that's the culture, that's not what I want it to be, and I want it to be different. Because that's the only way for anybody to be successful is if we
break the cycle.
Do something. Exactly. Can't do the same thing over and over again and expect the same results, because that's what they consider crazy to be. So I think it's really important that we break the cycle, exactly what you were saying. I should look at it like, this is my mother and she's acting like this because she's Jamaican, but I'm not going to because I don't want to be treated that way. I need to break the cycle.
Yeah.
Well, that's
but it's also
that I watched that interview today.
Yeah. Oh, wow. But it's also because, and you got to look at it like this. Like, on many levels, so using Shaggy as an example, like, you know, he had the relationship with his mother that he did. He's upset with her. But what he had to do in order to move forward and to break the cycle, honestly, is to forgive. Not to forget, but to forgive. Because the forgiveness is not for him. I mean, the forgiveness is not for her. It's for him.
It's for him, exactly.
And in order for him to move forward and be able to, you know, function and do and grow, he's going to have to forgive his experiences in order for
mm-hmm.
him to move forward. And a lot of
yep.
times, you know, the way in which we grow up, either we go directly in the same, you know, the same wavelength as those that you grew up with, or you go in a total opposite. But you can't harp
mm-hmm.
on these negative feelings, because he's never going to be able to surpass, you know, these sort of feelings if he doesn't let go and move forward and become the best person that he can be, because he's always going to have these hang-ups when it comes to it.
Yep. Yep. And you can't heal if you're not willing to admit that there's something wrong, and you move forward. You do what you, like you said, sometimes you have to forgive someone just for your own sanity.
Mm-hmm. Because you keep on, it's like me drinking poison and expecting another person to die from that poison that I drank.
Yeah.
I'm not, the
yep.
only person that's going to be affected is me. I am
yep.
affecting myself, and the more upset I am, the more I harp these feelings, is the longer I'm going to stay in this sort of quote-unquote pit or sad place, you know, and the only person that is affecting is me and my body. The amount of stress we deal with enough in life, not this added
yep.
emotional stress and baggage that we carry with us, and just, you know, focusing so much on material things and, you know, I wish I could be here in life. I need to be here. You know, everybody's destiny is what it is, and we have to stop focusing so much on what other people think of us, because that don't pay my rent. That don't make me happy.
Exactly.
That don't make me sleep at night. So we got to focus more on us and not caring, but it's easier said than done. Because
yep.
I'm sure,
and
I'm sure, Shaggy loves his mother, but it's
yeah,
hard for him
that.
Because every time, yeah, but every time he thinks about this sort of situation, he has a negative feeling in it. Daddy, what do you think?
I think that we all have to look at I think that we all have to go deep inside of ourselves. I saw this piece today on Facebook. Somebody had posted on Facebook about men going for counseling. And I think you know what's very interesting is that I think that a lot of black men go to counseling. The barbershop is a counseling session.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know. That's why they made movies about the barbershop and not the counseling session, because
mm-hmm.
for a lot of
it's
black
informal.
Men. Yeah, and
yep.
the beauty parlor for sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And a nail salon.
You know, I've often said that, you know, the sisters, you know, really, sisters and brothers, if they were to go to school not just for hair care and cosmetology, if they were to also go and get a degree in social work or psychiatry,
mm-hmm.
I think that they could revolutionize what actually happens, because men may not go to counseling for whatever stigma counseling has, but they will go to the barber, and they'll do the same thing in the barbershop that they would
mm-hmm.
do with a counselor.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Voluntary. They would volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. When they go to the barbershop, they got a lot to say about what's going on in their life. And did you
but
see this?
Even,
and did you see that?
They even do it amongst each other. Like, I laugh, and I tell my husband all the time, I'm like, you guys are doing this Black Men Reveal. I don't know if you guys remember the show that used to come on. I think it was Channel 9, or I forgot what channel it was. But it's called Black Men Revealed. And what they will talk about is the situations that go on for men, because men need to speak about it as well. But I laugh all the time because he has these sort of like chats and group sessions with his friends. And I'm like, you guys are doing Black Men Revealed again. Like, they'll huddle together and they don't realize what they're doing. But because of the association and the stigma that comes along with talking about your feelings, you're supposed to have feelings, like men don't feel as though they need to have feelings. And they'll pretend like they don't have feelings when, in fact, everybody has feelings. It's not a bad thing. It's not a negative thing. But they don't ever want to admit to it because another person who has feelings in the background is going to sit there and judge them.
And it goes back to what we said originally about a program we need to have about real conversations because, you know, but the reality is that men and women both have feelings. They just have different ways of letting it out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my experiences with so many different people and observing what's going on, when brothers go to the barbershop, you know, like I've had experiences in barbershops before. And I've had brothers come up to me in the street and tell me that they saw hidden colors in the barbershop. There are some barbers barbershops that show
wow.
certain tape in barbershops.
Mm-hmm.
And there's conversations that go on in barbershops.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And it goes back to us sweating and arguing and fussing and fighting and saying that men need to go to counseling. What we really need to do is encourage them to go to the barbershop.
Yeah.
Because in a barbershop, if a man is exposed to another man just dropping their life, their feelings, from the deepest perspective, that's what would get a man to talk.
Yeah, they feel comfortable because if you see them doing it, you're like, okay, this is normal. This is comfortable.
And you're around
mm-hmm.
men. And so, therefore,
mm-hmm.
the stigma of going to a doctor and saying, doctor, I need counseling. They've told me I need to go to counseling. It's different. If you go to a barbershop, you're getting your hair cut, you're doing what you're there because you want to be there to get the haircut, and then all of a sudden, you know, like Barbara will say, so I know barbers that do that on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
They are the counseling for the community.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And so we have to be real about what we're saying, you know, in terms of counseling. I believe sincerely, like I've told you, I've gone to counseling before. And I know what it did for me. And I speak it like it's real. I mean, there are things that men, human beings, go through. You
mm-hmm.
need somebody that you can talk to.
Mm-hmm.
You need somebody you can talk to. The problem is that the psychiatry of Western civilization, the counseling of Western civilization, does not apply to the African, Hispanic world of melanation. It doesn't apply.
And we have to stop thinking that it does.
Yeah. The things that make Europeans do, there is such what's called a MO, a modus operandi, a mode of way of how you operate. You have brothers who are in street organizations, or if you want to call them gangs, we can do that too. And they're in organizations, and they will, that's their family. You mess with their family, they're going to come up on you, and they're going to do a drive-by on you. Or they're going to catch you out in the street, and they're going to shoot you. They're going to kill you. It's wrong. It's absolutely incorrect. It is unacceptable to do that in general,
mm-hmm.
period. But you got
mm-hmm.
people of other cultures, specifically of European descent. I'll give you an example. I think I've done this before, but I'll do it again. You know, a brother go to the movie, and he's sitting up in the movie house, and there's a guy in front of him that's talking back to the screen. It's obvious that the guy in front has seen the movie, knows what's going to happen, so he starts talking about what's going on. Oh, don't go in there. You know who's in there. Your mother's in there. And while a lot of people in the movie house may be laughing at what this brother's doing, this other brother's taking a seat. He say, look, brother, I ain't come to this movie to hear you talk about it, all right? So why don't you just be quiet? And so the brother, okay, he keep talking to the screen. He said, brother, I told you, be quiet. Guy keep talking. The brother pull out a gun and shoot him. This actually happened, by the way.
Wow.
A guy got shot in the movie house because he was talking back to the screen and giving away the movie. And there was a brother in the movie house that was upset, and he shot him.
Ooh,
okay, murder.
That's extreme.
Murder. Okay, yeah, that's very extreme. But you also have somebody that comes into the movie house dressed in with red hair and throws bombs and shoots the movie house up. When that brother went into the movie house and shot that guy that was talking to the screen, he did not go to the movie house premeditating he was going to shoot somebody. Something happened that made him shoot them. There are other cultures that they will just go in the movie house and kill innocent people and premeditate, I'm taking people out. There's two different ways we operate. Murder is murder. It is wrong. It is unacceptable. However, there's always a reason why we kill somebody, no matter how stupid or how wrong it is. There's always a reason why we do it. We just don't randomly go and pull a fire alarm in a school and then shoot our classmates as they're leaving the building. We don't do that. Yep. We may shoot them in the building because we belong to rival organizations, but we will not kill them indiscriminately simply because we want to kill them.
Yep.
So there's a difference in how we do what we do, and we have to recognize this difference and understand that we need counselors that can talk to a gang member the same way we need a counselor that will talk to other situations. They're not prepared to talk to us. They don't know what operates, because what makes us do what we do is not what makes them do what they do. Something to think about.
That's interesting.
Something to think about.
You know what?
Yep.
When you I was going to say, when Daddy was describing that, it's so funny because I finally given in to the hype and started watching Game of Thrones. So I'm watching, and I'm up to season 3 or whatever. So in I hope I'm not ruining it, but I'm not going to say the main situation, but just about a character. So in Game of Thrones, there's a kid of European descent, and he's a product of incest, and he doesn't realize that, he doesn't know, but throughout the whole thing, like there's people and their roles are very interesting. And his role basically is he's not interested in women for sex, because they'll have like people who are working, and his uncle tried to buy him some people for him to sleep with. And all he wanted to do was torture these women and watch women be tortured and watch the killing and watch the, that was his thing. That's what made him happy, was, the abuse and the killing, and that's what kind of gave him his flavor and stuff like that. And it was very interesting that you said that, because it's like, what would make him get off basically by watching people die? Like how is that, constituted as...
He's an incel.
As, huh?
He's an incel.
What is that?
It is
involuntary celibate.
Yes,
it's an involuntary celibate. And a lot of the young people who are murdering in their schools, college, high schools, they're incels. And the way you know they are is because there was an incel, I'm not sure, I don't want to say it for sure because I'm not exactly, but he killed people a couple years back, and he was an incel. And he identified
That's
himself as an involuntary celibate. And people who have murdered since then have done it in his name. So it's obvious that they have been identifying as an incel, which is an involuntary celibate. Now, again, culturally speaking,
I remember that one that you're talking about. That the women didn't want to sleep with him.
And he didn't know how to talk to them. He had a problem. They have a problem in insecurity and inferiority as it relates to their manhood. This is the cornerstone of what we're facing as a people,
That's interesting. That's very
This whole thing about the gun. Francis Cress Welsing has a whole chapter on the role of the gun and why they are so prone to protect their guns, because
for most men of European descent, it represents their genitals.
Wow.
And don't take my gun is like taking away their masculinity.
Wow.
And incel, and this is where they project their manhood. And incel is an involuntary celibate, which is another term that they create just to sort of kind of make themselves look better. But the problem is that they in themselves are very insecure and inferior. This is why they're pushing this abortion thing, that they're saying even with rape and incest, when they would pass a law that speaks about, it's obvious that rape and incest occur amongst them far more times than we may think.
That's crazy.
You see, we're so busy looking at ourselves and judging ourselves, which we should do. Self-examination is very important. But what it is that we don't even think about some of the things that they're doing. Because I think many things, but I do not think that a thinking man of African descent would ever support rape or incest under any psychological balance conception. Forget about making a law. These are the people that make a law. They just, you know, so that the point I'm making is that these incels that are killing, they're killing because deep inside themselves, they have lost their masculinity. And in so doing, many of them take it out on the people around them who are innocent. And that's what an incel is. It's an involuntary celibate, a person that chooses to be. But it's not that they choose to be celibate. It's that they don't know how to relate to women. And this is the other thing about the abortion. Abortion, it goes back to something. Remember Jan Marie when we were talking about certain situations? And she said something very important. This thing about abortion has nothing whatsoever to do about pro-life. Because they would be the first. Because the states where they are pushing for abortion are the ones that have the largest infant mortality rates. So they don't implement programs to protect the child in life, special programs for the NICU, the intensive care units. They're not really interested in life of the infant. What this is about total power over a woman's body.
This is
men of European descent telling women, I'm going to control you. And that's what an incel is. Because if they can't relate to a woman as you go to a club and you talk, you dance, you date, you know, you engage, you get married. They can't do that. They don't know how to do that. So what do? They will rape a woman. Or they will have incest with children. That's how they express their manhood. This is what we're facing, family. And we better come to grips with who we're facing right here. Because it's important to understand.
Yeah, and this is
why
we got to discuss it.
Yeah, and hey, listen. Let's put it out there in the open for us to discuss it, even within our own families. Because, you see, we have a lot of problems in our own community as it relates to various things that happen to children in the African-American community. So we better have a conversation about that, too. There's a lot of stuff that we don't really want to talk about because it brings forward a lot of pain. And it goes back to something that you said one time when we were together, Sasha, about things that happened during the enslavement process. And there's a lot of things that happened to us being enslaved and being under the control of a European man.
Yep.
Both male and female. We're afraid. It hurts us to talk about it because it brings back very unsettling memories. And out of that comes our misjudgment of a lot of things that we should be real clear upon if we're going into the 21st century as a healthy, wealthy, mentally strong people. Look up incel.
Incel. Yeah, it's really disturbing. There was one that was running for some political office, and he was an incel, and he was also a pedophile, and he was running for local office, and he was
Most incels are pedophiles.
That's crazy.
Most incels are pedophiles. Most of them support pedophilia, and many of them are not just one sex. Like they'll touch little girls as well as little boys.
It's not even a
sexual thing. It's a mental thing.
It's a power and control. It's power and control.
It's about power. It's about power, and we have to focus on that. Rape is not about sex. It's about power.
Mm.
The things that we do to each other is about power. Everything happening now as it relates to the United States government has to do with power. And what most people don't realize is that the power is in your hands. You have the power. But if someone can convince you that they got the power, then you won't think you got the power.
Well, we are that definitely needs to be considered and thought through. Because I don't think everybody got it. So we're gonna take a break and let everybody stew on that information. We'll be right back.
We the best music. Yeah.
For like 10, pregnant with my mom's doctor told her it was slim. Was bedrock for 9 months, but gave birth in the end. Father started sickin', he proud what we done. In one generation, he came from Africa young. Said he met my mom's at the Century Club. Los Angeles love, kinda like hustle and book. Money turned 10, cross turned 2. Starting to see this life shift from a bird's view. We the ones that made millions off the curve. Fool in this rap shit, 10, never made nerd moves.
You keep taking me higher and higher. Yeah,
Callum.
But don't you know that the devil is a liar?
Hey. I know.
Right back. They'd rather see me down, put my soul in the fire. But we keep going higher.
Yeah, talk to him. Emptied out the clip, it was broad day. Fuck niggas always gotta learn the hard way. We gon' tape it off if we ball play. Put a half a moon crescent on your ball face. Police hit the lights, that's a car chase. Looking back at my life, make my heart race. Dance with the devil and test on face. I was thinking chess moves, but it was God grace. Crooked ass whoever till we all straight. With no shame, I peep game and it's all fake. South Central state of mind, high crime rate. Homicide, hate gang banging to get you all day. Look at my face.
But don't you know that the devil is a liar?
I know.
They'd rather see me down, put my soul in the fire. But we keep going higher, higher.
Higher. Oh, Lord. Can you feel it? My you. So high, we keep going higher.
Wow.
That song is amazing. I feel like anytime John Legend is on a song, it sounds like gospel. like,
no, but this was supposed to be, even the video was very gospel, and it's very interesting that this was the last video that Nipsey Hussle actually did, and it was very, like, angelic, very, like, you know, so, not church, but it was very, like, heavenly and everything, and
it's
literally the last video.
Soulful.
Yeah, and it's just very interesting, because they say, like, whenever a person is about to pass away, something always happens prior to them passing that is kind of like the, you know, it's very similar, very like parallel to what is about to happen. And I feel like in him and him doing this video and doing this song that's very like heavenly, angelic, right before he's about to pass, I said, I feel like this is not, it's not a coincidence. It's not, you know, oh, my God, like, I can't believe that this is happening. It's like this, you know, he was supposed to make that his last video for a reason.
I think most of us don't consider death as something that is supposed to happen, or like, because we miss people so much that we can't see it for anything other than heartbreak. Like when something happens to people that we love, it's heartbreaking, and nobody, like, I would never say it to somebody that lost somebody, but I don't know how I'm gonna react to different people, but it feels like we're here for a reason, and then once the reason is over, we go on to the next stage. But it's very hard. It's very difficult because we're still, you know, we do have God and the balance of God and the devil in us, but we're still, we are inside of a human, you know, a human shell. And sometimes I think that the emotions that come along with being human, there's a lot that we can't see when it comes to the spirit and the soul that's inside of us. We can't see what the purpose is because we're so focused on being the best human we can be.
Yeah, and even sometimes it's more of a selfish thing. When we grieve because we're grieving and we're expressing how we feel. And it's a selfish thing. And not a selfish in a bad way, but it's our reaction because we want them to still be here, but they're in a better place. So we're being selfish in the way in which we are reacting. Instead of being happy and celebrating, a lot of times we mourn and are sad because we're self-centered in a sense that we want to be satisfied by them being here. But a lot of times, especially if they're sick and experiencing extreme pain, we would rather them be here as opposed to allowing them to move on and to be in a better place.
Funerals are for the people on earth. Funerals are not for the people that have passed away because they're already on to the next stage of wherever they're supposed to be. We're still here. So some of us feel guilty for still being here while the other person is not here anymore, but we have to realize, and it's going to be difficult, and it's not something, but I think it's easier on your soul when you realize that everybody is where they're supposed to be for the period of time that they're supposed to be there.
Yeah, and it's easier said than done.
You know, it's interesting because, you know, as I've been talking to y'all, you know, I completed I finished the next book I'm writing on Sunday. I purposely put the last moments, the last things that I wanted to do with the book in celebration of Malcolm X. So I purposely did my webinar on the role of melanin, and I also finished the book. But the reason why I'm telling you this is that I'll share something that I spoke about in the book Spirituality Before Religions, which I think our ancestors, the original
sneak peek.
Yes, it is. It's just a concept dealing with spirituality before religions. To understand from my research and just my inner searchings throughout my life, which is what this book really is. It's really, really an experience I went through, but I wanted to share it with people. It, you know, I mean, some people write books for the public. I developed this book for my inner search, but I wanted to share it with people. And one of the things that I say in the book is that there is no such thing as death. Death doesn't exist. Death exists in the Western world because the Eurasians came into existence on the earth. The original people, the African people, were born in the cosmos and came to earth through light and heat energy that was encapsulated, entombed in nitrogen, which we basically call our body. So there's a phrase in the book that says, when I was born, I died, and when I died, I was born.
Wow.
When I was born, I died cosmically. And when I died, I was born, reborn cosmically.
Wow. Mm.
Now, what I'm saying there and what I'm trying to express is the fact that each and every one of us is like a drop of water that has been separated from an ocean. And the ocean is the creator and our ancestors, all those that came before us. Going all the way back. I'm not talking about just our grandparents and great-grand. I'm talking about those that came up out of the Great Lakes region of Africa. I'm talking about going back into to the reptiles, because the mammals came from the reptiles. And I'm talking about reptiles came from the amphibians from the fish from the plant, and the plant from bacteria. And then the bacteria that came from the cosmos. So the idea is that there is no such thing as death. Energy, spirit, cannot be created or destroyed. And basically what we're experiencing as this drop of water is another room in the eternal temple of immortality.
Ooh.
And when we die, death is a doorway into another room of this eternal temple.
Ooh.
And no matter what, all of us are going to be together again. Your grandmother, my mother that you may never have known, you will know her when it's your time. You'll know your great-grandmother. You'll know your great-great-grandmother. You'll go back in a time that you never even realized existed. Because
we'll
once you die,
know them by their soul and not by their human body.
You're all related. We're all related. White folk, too. I know people don't want to hear that, but white folk, too. You know, this is, if we're going to tell the truth, we have to tell the truth. And my being concerned about the way in which peoples of European descent act can't get in the way of what I have found out scientifically and spiritually. Because if I allow that to taint my view, then I'm as bad as they are. There's no such thing as death. And as you say, and rightfully, is that when you have your funerals and when you're not doing it for those who are departed, you're doing it for you. You're not doing it for them. They're already.
Yep.
Within moments of their blood stops circulating, which stops their heart from beating, because no matter what they may tell you, the heartbeat isn't what makes the blood flow. The blood flow is what makes the heart beat.
Hmm.
So you don't die when your heart stops. You die when your blood stops circulating. And that's why Jehovah's Witness does not have blood transfusion.
Ooh.
Because they believe that
the
soul of a person is in the blood. The blood is the one significant thing in your system that defines you for who you really are. That's why blood transfusions and all the others are so very special. You don't get no air transfusion.
Hmm.
You get blood transfusion. And the reason that runs through the body, through the circulatory, and Jehovah Witness believes that the soul of a person resides in their blood.
So if you get the blood of another person, Jehovah Witness believes that you are also getting that person's soul. So that's why they are so vehemently against blood transfusion.
Oh.
And when you look at life in so many different ways, what they're saying is true, but I'm still down for a blood transfusion if it'll let me live a little longer. So I'll take somebody else's soul because I already got them anyway. I already got somebody's soul because I got blood.
That's so crazy.
So there is no such thing as death, and black people never feared death. They enjoyed life, but they didn't fear death.
Mm-hmm.
Because they knew that one day, no matter what, that grandmother that they loved so much, that did so much for them, that raised them and was there for them, they knew that one day they'd be together with that grandma. And so, they had their moments of grief, but that was a personal grief. It wasn't because the person was dead. It was because that person would not be able to see that person again. But there's so many things that we have to start looking at as it relates to how we're going to shape our life for the future. And the book that I wrote, Spirituality Before Religions, is an attempt to at least begin to shape an understanding of how our ancestors, the original people, looked at life and death from a perspective that will allow us to make all men and women equal. And just the end chapter, I'm going to drop it on you now. The end chapter is where we go from here, ? And I say, into the age of the feminine principle. And I'm having a conversation
with you.
I have a chapter
on this book.
Oh, yeah. But, I already got webinars planned out. But there's one where I start listing some of the Netaru.
Yeah.
A Netaru on the women and the role that they played. The goddess of war, Neith, had an arrow. She was a goddess of war. In the very beginning of time, there was a woman there. Our ancestors talked about her. There were women that were the guardians of various organs in your body. In fact, all of your organs, your stomach, your small and large intestine, they were all women, Serket, Aset, Neith. They were all protectors of the body, and they were known to be the ones that guarded over the organs at death and spoke on behalf of the dead person. They were known as the canopic jars. This is what I want to talk to us about to help us understand how our ancestors laid this stuff out.
Sharpen your eyes and tune your ears.
That's right. And like what Buchman and Cecile told the people of Haiti the night before the revolution, cast aside your white god. You are free.
That's crazy. But it's very interesting.
It's very interesting.
When is your book going on sale?
It's hard to say because we're going to do pre-orders and we're going to, there are things that I'm going to do prior to actually doing it. But what I put up on Facebook is that it's going to be summer of 2019.
All right now. Get a while.
That's soon.
Yeah. Because the wonders of Amazon and all the other things, I don't mean to necessarily put a commercial out, but I will because, the idea is that what's so wonderful about it is that it allows you to be able to produce your own work, and it doesn't take long at all. And there are ways that you can organize your writing system that will allow you to be able to put that up. So once you finish it, it's then a matter of formatting it. Because the page number is
Like, for what I did, I used font 14, for those that understand the size of the letter. It's 14. And it's 100 and basically 84 pages.
Mm.
But when you put it into the size of the book, I'm looking at 8.5 by 11, 184 pages. But when you break it down to, I think it's 6 by 9, I think it is, or maybe less than that, but I think it's 6 by 9, the size of a book, is going to get longer. So once you format it,
that is exciting.
Put your footnotes, it's there. I've been working on it for a while. As you all know, we've been walking through it, been talking to you about it. But it's now ready to go up and go out, and it is just a matter of time before the community gets a sense. But what I was really speaking on and sharing that with you and the family is the fact that there is no such thing as death. And one of the things that cripples us is that we will sell our souls to live another day, not realizing that when it's your time, you're going out of town.
Yeah. Wow.
It's true, though.
When it's your time, it's your time.
We're not meant to live past where we're supposed to go.
Yeah, when it's your time, it's your time.
Hey, listen, Malcolm X lived 39 years. Martin Luther King lived 39 years. I have been blessed to be able to get to where I am in my life. But it was his, it was their time. Their time was 39 years.
But that's
and they did in 39 years what they were divinely destined to do.
Yeah. And that's the
and so many of us,
living our life.
So many of us are living our lives trying to be somebody else that we're not capitalizing on the divine gift that we've been given. So some of us are living long lives, but we're not fulfilling
we're not
our
happy.
Dreams and our aspirations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you?
That's the importance of living
you.
Your best life.
That's it. And don't go back and forth with everybody.
Because you ain't got time to go back and forth. Because guess what? You're living
you
your best
don't.
Life.
You really don't.
And we, you know, we may joke around with that song, but that is so relevant to what we need to be doing. That we need to be living our best life. If we're living our best life, how are we going to see what the next person is doing? I'm having too much
That's
fun
it.
Over here for me to focus on and be negative and harp on other people's lives. I'm living my best life, so why do I care what the next person is doing?
That's it.
Yep. When
you
focus on what somebody else is doing in your race, that's when you trip. That's when you trip and fall.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You know, like the brother used to tell me, you know, my brother Andrade, I'll never forget his father was the coach of our team. I grew up, you know, where I grew up in the projects, you know, we had fathers that were into sports. And as young brothers in the community, they would take a lot of us out. And so my early days of running track was with Mr. Andrade. And one of the things, and I'm talking young, I'm talking about maybe anywhere between 8, 9, 10 years of age. And I can see him right now talking to us when we were ready to run a race, local community races with people connected to community centers. And he used to always tell us, run your A game, run your best race. Never look back to see where your opponent is. Because the moment you turn around to see where they are is the moment you're going to slow up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you run in your A game, you don't need to look around to see where other people are because you're going to win.
Hey, you
and
know you're doing the best that you can do.
That's it. And that's what he used to say. And if you don't win, it's because somebody else had a better A game than you.
Mm-hmm. So sharpen up your A game.
Yeah, that's what I remember. The moment you look around to see where other people are, that's it. The moment you stop to look where your opponent is the moment you're going to slow up your game.
Mm-hmm. I think that's my theme of the year, sharpen your eyes and tune your ears.
So you know what you see and understand what you hear. Minute by minute, hour by hour, as you lose your history, you lose your power.
Woo! Where that bomb at?
Wow.
Where is
wow.
that bomb at?
Oh, wait, you want me
that
to...
That right
you,
there
you,
is straight facts.
The bomb is broken. Hold on.
The bomb is broken. That's straight facts. However you want to say it, straight facts, dead ass, 100%. Like, that's what it is. That's what I'm sounding around real Bronx right now, but that's what it is.
That's the poem. That's the poem by Listervelt Middleton. It's
mm-hmm.
titled "On the Origins of Things."
I've seen that.
That's very relevant. Very relevant. Like that is like my favorite. You know, and I've gotten to the point where I don't even have to say the whole thing. I just say sharpen your eyes and tune your ears. Because that's exactly what we need to be doing nowadays. Instead of worrying about somebody else, we need to craft and focus on us, being the best people that we can be. Because you can sit there and try to be somebody else, and then somebody's trying to be like you. Like, come on now. Just be your best person. Be your best self.
It's sad because I know that so many people I've encountered that do that have a wonderful contribution to give.
Yeah, because nobody else can be you but you.
Nobody else
mm-hmm.
can be you. They weren't born to be you. They were born to be them.
Mm-hmm.
Be you. Be happy with you. The Creator don't make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Be you.
That's
celebrate
the
fact, you.
The fact.
This is what we should go out on. Be you.
Be
mm-hmm.
you. And you know, when you help other people, when you help other people rise, you rise with them.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
whether you
realize,
or not, and you can say that, and that relates to so many things because that's where it is. And you and I had this discussion, Daddy, job related, because you're building your company. And not necessarily your company, but you may be building somebody else's company. You may be working for them, but that's building you so that you can be able to build your own company.
That's the bottom line.
Whew,
and there's positive. Hey, that's it. There's a lot to be said there. You
mm-hmm.
work together. You each other out, and I'm not being naive about what I realize. You know, I'm not talking about those that would take advantage of that generosity. But what I'm saying is that if in your heart you're doing the right thing and you're moving forward and you support people doing what they're doing, it moves you forward automatically. And even if they choose not to bring you with them, you still moved ahead.
And their being where they are is very limited. You take the best and leave the rest.
That's it. Take the sense out the nonsense and keep on moving.
Keep on keeping on. Yeah. You know why?
Because it ain't over till we win. There we go.
All right.
I like that. I'm going to take that.
That's how we should end. We need to end every show saying that. Because I think we say it,
and
but
we
that's
do.
That's how every show should be ended.
We
say
do.
Because that.
Listen, we're going to drill it in, whether you realize it or not. Was this the first, you know, show that you're listening to? But you know it's not going to be the last.
There we go.
Dropping your eyes and tune your ears.
Yeah. Whoa,
there we go. I got some good music. I know they play this on the radio, but I think it's important to, because we haven't played one of these songs on our show yet. So I think that this is definitely one of the things that is on the rise right now, and it's I know some people whoever's listening is going to be jamming. So I hope you guys enjoy this. Do you guys have anything else to say before we head out till next week?
Sharpen your eyes and tune your ears.
Yep. And
because it ain't over till we win.
That's it.
And my
there we go.
And
we can put it together.
Be you and be proud to be you.
Mm-hmm.
And show the world what you were born to be.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Never pretend to be something that you're not or someone that you're not.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
it.
It's funny. Huh? No, I was going to say, it's funny that, you know, you say that because I went to this function 2-3 weeks ago, and in there, you know, people there was a panel, and they were all successful in their own right. And so, you know, I forgot the exact words, but it's basically like, you know, be proud, like big up basically where you came from and what you're doing. Like, be proud about what you're doing and not flaunt it, but, like, you know, be happy and show how successful you have become because you've earned it. So, like, we have to stop being so self-conscious about, you know, accepting our rightful praise because you should be happy. You worked hard to get to where you are. So just in life, just be happy and be successful and, you know, give back and praise yourself because you deserve it.
There we go.
And, you know, I am just very happy to be alive at this time in history to see what's happening. And I send to all of my brothers, I send my regards out to that phenomenal brother at Morehouse that paid off all those brothers.
Man.
I can only imagine with those young brothers.
All those millions.
Just starting their life with no debt, with no debts. I can only imagine the impact. And so I give great praise to that brother, to his family, and to all those who are doing the same thing, maybe not as large, but doing it in another way, to all of those that are doing this. And I just have a lot of respect. But also I want to say how proud I am of you, Sasha, and Kandike. Having watched how you've developed and worked your life. And you're representing this new age of the feminine principle that's doing dynamic things. This is your time to be able to right the wrongs that have been developed by Western civilization.
Mm-hmm.
It is time for the return of the Black Cosmic Mother.
There we go.
To come and to set her children free. Because we've been down too long. And it's time to get this together. And so I compliment you and all the sisters out here who are trying to make sense of the insanity that we are experiencing right now. But I want you to know it's going to be all right, and we are going to get to the promised land.
By any means necessary.
By any means necessary. Next week.
Wonderful.
Another topic, another time. Stay safe, stay strong.
Yes, Hotep.
Hotep family.
My money, my body, now your own.
It's all we know about it.
If I tell you, say I love you, oh. My money, my body, now your own, oh baby. 30 billion for the account, yo. Versace and Gucci for your body, oh baby.
please get to you. I like your mini skirt to you. Oh girl, you got it best to you. If I tell you, hey, I love you, oh. My money, my body, now your own, oh baby. 30 billion for the account, yo. Versace and Gucci for your body, oh baby. My number one is tutu. Sipping bruku tutu. For your love is tutu. I go chuku chuku chuku. Biko obianu ju. Say you do me juju. Cause I'm feeling the juju. And you know say nobody only. But I don't go tell you story. I gotta be your man. I gotta be your man. Let me talk to you. Say a few things, girl, I'm feeling you. What is up to you? Say you don't want that, yeah. I love you, I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. There's nothing above you. There's nothing above you, above you, above you. Free jet to you. I like your mini skirt to you. Okay, you can refer to you. If I tell you, say I love you, oh. My money, my body, now your own, oh baby. 30 billion for the account, yo. Yeah. Versace and Gucci for your body, oh baby.
Joanna, how you do me like Joanna, 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 Joanna. How you gonna do me like Joanna? Joanna.
Hey, Joanna.
Hey, Joanna. Joanna.
Ay, ay, ay.
Hey. How you gonna play me like Drogba? Drogba. How you gonna do me like Drogba? Drogba. Oh.